This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Okay, guys, we have a very quick and special announcement for you.
Yes, we are finally launching a Patreon for Through the Gryffindor.
It is going to be patreon.com/throughthegryffindor. And we know that you guys have been enjoying the show, but maybe one thing you don't enjoy so much is the ads. So at our $5 tier, the dark detectors will be unlocked and you will be able to enjoy ad-free listening.
Yes, and then at $10, we're going to have the Owlry, where each week we will make a little bonus episode for you guys here on the Patreon where we're answering your questions.
Yes, and as another special offer for the launch of the Patreon, we are also going to be doing something very cool. If you sign up for an annual membership for either tier, we are going to send you a page from Jay and I's copies of the books, completely marked up with highlighter, notes, handwritten scribbles, all sorts of really cool things.
Yes, so that is live now. There is a link in the description. Patreon.com/throughthegryffindor. Thank you so much in advance for your support. Guys, before we dive into Chapter 4 of Prisoner of Azkaban, live from Washington, D.C., we wanted to remind you that we have tickets on sale now for Through the Gryffindor West Coast.
That's right, guys. At the end of September 2024, we are doing the West Coast. We are going to be launching in Seattle, going down to Portland, Sacramento, Berkeley, San Diego, and capping off in Los Angeles.
Yeah, it is going to be an absolute blast. East Coast was great. I've never been to so many of these cities and looking forward to seeing them and just meeting all of you in person.
I know, it's going to be such a blast. So be sure to check it out. Tickets to the links. Wow, links to the tickets.
There you go.
Hey, are in the description down below. We can't wait to see you there.
Welcome, dear listeners. I'm Jonathan Carlin.
And I'm Benjamin Carlin.
And we invite you to join us through the Gryffindor, your one-way ticket to the enchanting world of Harry Potter. So grab your wands and dust off your broomsticks and join us as we unlock the mysteries behind Prisoner of Azkaban, Chapter 4, The Leaky Cauldron, live in Washington, D.C. Woo! Yes! Oh,
We're going to have to extend the tour.
I know, right? We got to find some new places.
It's way too much fun to get to the end of the intro and be like, we're somewhere.
That's it. I know. Yeah. Right? Next one will be like, from Roanoke. And there's no cheers.
just pure dead silence.
Just dead silence. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, yeah. I gotta say, DC, I'm excited for you guys because we have what I think is a truly great chapter.
Dude, it might be the longest chapter we've done so far.
Could be.
I know, yeah. I was like, I kept reading. I was like, a lot happens. Is there more pages? Like, geez, all right.
It just keeps going. Yeah, I know. So buckle up, because I think some of the chapter or Chamber of Secrets episodes were coming up on like an hour 45.
Yeah,
so
right, you know. Yeah.
Hope you're all... No, we won't go that long, I promise.
Hopefully not, yeah. Someone will yell at us before then.
Yeah, they'll start playing like the send-off music.
Yeah.
And that's it. Closing time. Yeah.
Hopefully not. Oh, jeez. All right. What?
Audition for The Voice.
Oh, in Umbridge's voice.
Yeah. So don't audition for The Voice. Yeah. That closing time rendition was not what sold it. Okay.
Yeah.
It was like, I was like, man, is this an agent or should we talk?
They like the sound of our voice. Yeah, right?
This is good.
Is that Blake Shelton? Oh, my God.
Wow. It's an honor.
It's an honor. Thanks for coming to our show.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. I love your music. All right. Okay, so we're in Chapter 4, The Leaky Cauldron. Let's see. So
Right out of the gate, of course, we can talk about the chapter art, as always, which is just a big bunch of monster book of monsters in the cage, which I think is pretty whimsical and fun chapter art, although, as ever, I don't think them. I think the movie did it better, as the monster book of monster goes.
Yeah, I know. These guys kind of have like an eye that almost looks
one
just
eye.
It seems just like kind of like sultry or something.
Sultry.
Know? Yeah, like it's kind of like given like a smolder, you know.
Do you want to get the audience a smolder?
No, I don't have.
Show up. What do you mean by smolder?
Dang it.
You walked right into that one. Wow. Good smolder.
Thanks.
All right. So right out of the gate, we have Harry here, who's just getting off the night bus, and he has several days to adjust to his strange new freedom. Never before had he been able to get up whenever he wanted or eat whatever he fancies. And well, I know. What's crazy when you think about this particular... He's here for like 3 weeks total in Diagon Alley just by himself.
Yes.
And it is like, when you think about it, these are like possibly literally... the three happiest, or at least carefree, like weeks of his entire life, like until Voldemort is defeated.
Yes. Right? No, I know. Yeah. Like this is like such a sweet spot for Harry
because
like the stakes haven't gotten quite so aggressively high. Voldemort's not officially back.
No, and it's like the summer will end with him overhearing the argument with Arthur and Molly and like learning that Sirius Black is hunting him. But right now he's ignorant of that.
Right. So it's like there's danger out there, but like it's probably not directed at me.
Yeah, well, come on. When is it ever?
Not again.
Not again. It can be. This is just a bad thing that happened.
Yes.
Yeah, but so like upon learning that, he will have the threat of Sirius Black looming over his head right up until he learns Sirius is innocent, which just comes with the news that Peter is alive. And then Peter escapes. Then Voldemort comes back and it's pretty much downhill from there.
Yeah. Until it isn't.
But that's still like, 4 years from now.
Yeah. So stress level midnight is about to start with chapter five.
Right? I mean, literally, though, it's the Dementors.
Chapter. It's called the Dementors.
Or, I'm sorry, the Azkaban guards.
As they're still currently known.
I don't want to get ahead. Spoilers, guys, I don't want to ruin anything for you. Let's see. So Harry is pleased to just stick around in Diagon Alley. He thinks he sees a hag ordering a raw liver. Like, gross.
Yeah.
Let's see. Nothing happens on the first page other than that.
Well, I think the big thing that's kind of interesting to me here is like chapter one of Prisoner starts kind of positive. Like, it's Harry getting like all of his like fun like birthday cards and letters, like the first ones ever, and he like goes to sleep in this like happy little position, and then Marge arrives and like immediately goes in the complete opposite direction. And then this is like, kind of like a return a little bit, and this is some of like my favorite like Harry Potter moments altogether, though, because it really is just sort of like, it's just exploring.
It's lots of world building happening, and just seeing what it's like in the wizarding world during good times, except for Sirius Black.
Right, yeah.
Who's escaped out there. Which, as ever, as like you keep going through the, like, I never really noticed this as much, but it's like every turn, it's like you're never allowed to get too far away from someone being worried about Sirius Black. Like even before Harry knows, it's like Stan is like, oh yeah, Sirius Black, and then he's just like walking down the street, and people are like, yeah, let's talk about Sirius Black. I can't let my kids out anymore.
Right, you know? Right, yeah. Like I wonder if that's like a vital part of like the storytelling process, where it's like you can't let the audience forget what the threat will be. But like I also wonder, like you mentioned, I think in chapter one, that it didn't even really super occur to you that the escaped prisoner heard on the Muggle news is most likely going to be the key villain of this book.
Oh, yeah,
like,
right.
At this point in time, are you clued in? Are you
absolutely. Yeah, by now. Like, well, we know he's escaped from Azkaban now, so
right, yeah.
we figured that much out.
The evidence is building.
Yeah. Also, I love that he overhears people talking about Sirius, and they say, personally, I wouldn't let any of the children out alone until he's back in Azkaban. And it's like, unless it's Harry Potter, the boy he's looking for in the place he's likely to be. Cool. Yeah, he can wander around all by himself, unaccompanied.
Right, yeah. I like all the stops and all of like the ignoring of the law that the ministry is doing, and then they're sort of like, yeah, but you know, like he's by himself in like a city, so like what could go wrong?
What could go wrong? Yeah.
He's like, 13.
Right? I know. I love how like later Mr. Weasley is going to be like, we had to convince Dumbledore to let the Dementors around the school, but like here in Diagon Alley where the public could be at danger? Nah.
No big deal.
No big deal. They're fine. They're fine.
You worried? I'm not worried.
They're not worried. Yeah. He's only after Harry, who's also there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's fine. It's
oh,
good.
Man.
I like
that Harry is he's doing his little time at Florian Fortescue's ice cream parlor.
Yes. Where, still working on his essay.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. So in chapter one, we learned that Harry has been sneaking under the covers every single night to work on his witch burning essay, which sounds like a pretty short essay.
You think?
Basically, wizards are capable of casting a charm that prevents them from being burned.
Yeah.
End of essay.
End of essay, yeah, you know.
but here we are, full weeks later.
4 weeks later. I love it. Yeah, at Florian Fortescue's, who knows a great deal about medieval witch burnings and is giving Harry free Sundays every 30 minutes.
Yeah.
Like, good Lord, Harry.
The frequency.
That's so much ice cream.
Too many Sundays.
Too many Sundays.
He must be lactose tolerant.
Yeah, he is. Harry's very lactose tolerant. Yeah. Yeah, no doubt about that. What's also just fun fact about Florian Fortescue, like his one of his ancestors was also a headmaster at Hogwarts.
Right.
So it is like maybe not so surprising that he's like a history buff.
Oh, that tracks. You know?
Plus, that means that said headmaster will have a portrait in Dumbledore's office, and it would just super not surprise me if there's also one like in Florian Fortescue's shop somewhere.
Oh my you know gosh. What I mean?
He's just like, what's Harry up to?
Eating ice cream.
Again?
Dumbledore's like, still? Has he exhibited any signs of heroism?
Yeah. He hasn't finished that essay yet? Gosh, we're going to stop doing summer lessons, I'm telling you. They don't take it seriously.
not one bit. Oh, man. But then we get like a glimpse at some of the objects that Harry would love to purchase.
Yes.
While he's at Diagon Alley, including a handsome set of solid gold gobstones.
Yeah, like as if he's ever played.
I know. Yeah, it says, a wizard in game rather like marbles in which the stones squirt a nasty smelling liquid into the other player's face when they lose a point.
What a fun game.
Everybody's like, I can't wait to play.
I know. It's like, because like, there's no, like if you play more than like any game, like you're going to lose a point at some point.
Yes.
You know, like it's going to happen every game.
This is like in Jay versus Ben with like the danger beans that we've done once upon a time, which I think... Someone brought some.
I know.
They might even be on stage
right now.
They're right there. We're keeping our distance from that.
I know.
But can you imagine, like, every time you lose a point, it's like, heated danger bean.
Yeah. That would be terrible.
It would be.
I mean, you guys cannot imagine.
Oh, gosh.
I know. They're chanting.
They are chanting.
I know.
Maybe later?
Yeah.
Once we don't have to do a podcast.
Yeah, once we don't have to be on. Yeah.
And when we do the Q&A, we'll think about it then.
Well, yeah.
If you guys remember, which I doubt.
You'll probably forget.
They'll probably forget.
There's no doubt.
I feel assured.
Yeah. There's no doubt.
Reminders on phones, a whole bunch of glowing screens.
Danger beans, here we go.
Remind me in 47 minutes.
Yeah. Yeah, and suddenly this chapter just got a lot longer. What do you know?
Yeah.
Who knows?
Buckle up.
Buckle up, people. another thing he wants is the model of the galaxy in a large glass ball, which means he would never have to take another astronomy lesson, which is like, is that all you're doing is just memorizing where stuff is? Like, that's all you need? There's no application for this?
Yes, it does. It does feel rather strange to me that there's a class that's taught that can be undone by one thing that can be bought.
Yes.
Yeah.
Right?
It's like a calculator.
Yeah. Take that, math.
We've definitely never gotten math wrong before.
I know. Wouldn't that be great if they're like, everyone's always like, why don't they teach math at Hogwarts? And if Hogwarts was like, calculators. Come on. The Muggles can't figure it out. Yeah, they're not paying. So you pay the math budget, it's no problem. Your math is done.
This is like paying the astronomy budget.
It's the astronomy budget. Yeah. You just got it. Now you're done.
Now I have the thing.
Right?
But there's nothing he wants more than something that appears at his favorite shop. Quality Quidditch supplies.
Oh, yeah. Where we see the Firebolt the first time.
Okay. I got to say, though. I mean, you and I know where we stand on this. Yeah. But I am not super in favor of the design of the movie grade Firebolt.
Yeah, no, me neither, Ben.
Does it not seem like the Nimbus 2000 would be faster?
It seems like it'd be way faster.
Like, one of them looks like a broom you decoratively put next to your fireplace during the holiday season, and the other one looks like a racing broom.
Yes, exactly. And the, I mean, one has training wheels on it.
Yeah.
And it's this one.
Function over.
It helps the rest of it. You know what? But when you're going for aerodynamics, does having a, like, you know, footrests seems, I don't know. Doesn't, I don't like it. I'm not for it.
Jay doesn't like the footrests.
I'm getting flustered. anyway, they also, I like this though. There's just nice foreshadowing here where the guy at Quality Quidditch Supply says, Irish International side just put in an order for 7 of these beauties. It's like, oh, and then there's any of the favorites to win the World Cup, which they do.
Which they do. I know. Yeah. That's totally one of those where it's like on your first pass, there's no way in the world you realize that's like a reference.
Right.
It's
all you're like is like, oh yeah, I guess that makes sense. There's a Quidditch World Cup. That's cool that it exists.
Right.
You don't think you're going to go.
Right.
Yeah.
But next year we see them and they're on Firebolts.
And they are on Firebolts. Yes. Yeah, although these, I'm surprised they have those, because the ones they're looking at say, just come out, prototype. And it's like, you're just buying the prototypes, or you get the real deal by then?
How does
probably
that work? Yeah, maybe so.
Yeah. Also, just like quick stat on the Firebolt, it says it goes 150 miles an hour in 10 seconds, which, whoo!
That's...
You moving.
That is hauling.
I don't like, but like... It feels like we may need some math budget. Yeah. What? What? You probably would. Yeah. Could you even get up to 150 miles an hour inside of the Quidditch pitch? It feels like you'd have, like, you know.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Right?
I doubt it. Yeah. At this point, it's like racing broom is taking on like a whole new definition. Like, this is like drag racing broom.
Racing broom, the title racing broom suggests that there are broom races.
Yeah. Right?
Oh, that's got, where's that sport?
Oh, man.
Oh, where's like, you know,
pod
B1
racing.
Broom racing, you know?
Yeah, P1.
Yeah, yeah, B1.
B1, yeah. B1. Oh, yeah. I like it. I like it. Yeah,
that'd
okay.
That'd be great, you know, different teams.
Something to look out for.
Right.
The other thing that it has featuring, it's two American racing. Yeah.
They race cars all over the place, man. What the?
They're 13 years old. They're 13 years old and
going
150 miles.
It's a tad quick.
Yeah.
Admittedly.
Only one of them has one.
Yeah.
And it's probably stolen.
He's the main character. We're fine.
It's good. It's good. Harry's fine. They also have the unbreakable braking charm, which, like, really too bad the Nimbus doesn't have that.
Dude, I had the same note written down. Yeah, the unbreakable brake. Because Harry later this year, of course, is going to fall off of his broom, which is going to just continue to not break.
I know.
And fly into the Whomping Willow.
Yeah, dead.
Destroyed.
Yeah. Good thing he has a escaped convict godfather who can somehow walk into Quality Quidditch Supplies, haggle with the owner, not get recognized.
Yeah, and let's just check this next page, because it says, like, Harry's like, I'm not sure if I should get one, because he had never lost a Quidditch match on his Nimbus 2000, and what was the point in emptying his Gringotts vault for the Firebolt? How rich is Sirius?
I know! And how is he getting to his gold? Like, I don't think he's walking into Gringotts like, vault, please. Yes. Yeah, I'm not that guy. No, not him.
I am not him.
Black family vault. Not him. Not him. Got the key right here. Thank you. I feel like they would. There's an answer, is what I'm hearing. I guess you could order it by mail.
My name's Regulus.
My name's
Regulus. Voldemort controls the
I'm not
the
dead
bait,
yet.
Yeah, yeah. My name's right. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Don't mind the posters everywhere.
My brother.
That guy. Okay, let's see. So after he decides not to buy the Firebolt for the price of his entire vault, like how expensive are they either?
I know.
Like the entire fortune left to him. Harry thinks it will cost that.
Yes, I know. Well, that's the thing is that like Harry's fortune, he talks about it a couple of times in this chapter where he's sort of like he had to keep in mind he still had, you know, a lot more schooling left to do. And I'm like, Harry, I'm pretty sure your fortune's going to last you well past school. You're going to be good. Fine.
Right. You're in year three, so you got like, what, 4 more years worth of books to buy? Like, I think you're good.
You're going
to
be fine.
You have more than... What? You'd think, yeah, right? They're still selling Sleek Easy Hair Potion, right?
Yeah. To the dismay of Gilderoy Lockhart.
I know.
It's like that Potter kid.
Yeah, still, they're just adding in there. Let's see, we also learned that he's taking, what, Care of Magical Creatures and Divination.
Yes.
Right? New subjects here coming up later in the book. Both going to be pretty important to the book, too.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. The thing about the Monster Book of Monsters that I do find to be interesting, though, is that he's like going to Flourish and Blotts, and like he walks in, and the manager immediately is like, Hogwarts, and Harry's like, yes. And then he's like, come this way. And he's like, you know, pulling out like his thick, heavy gloves and knobbly walking stick, and he's going to go crack open the Monster Book's cage. And Harry's like, I've got one of those. And he's like, oh, thank goodness.
He doesn't even ask Harry if he's taking the class even, you know?
Yeah, like, yeah.
Presumptuous, you know?
A little bit.
You don't know I'm taking that. Come on, man.
He
doesn't have to take Care of Magical Creatures.
Well, he could just
be taking like Arithmancy and Muggle Studies.
Maybe Florian Fortescue's portrait went to the headmaster's office,
right?
Reported back, and this manager was getting ice cream and heard word the Potter kid's taking.
Yeah.
We figured it out.
Dumbledore knows all of this, but not that Hagrid sent him the book.
Yes, yeah. The thing I can't figure out about the book, though, is that the store manager of the bookstore doesn't know the trick.
Thank you.
Yeah, right? Exactly.
It's like, what kind of bookstore are you running here?
I know. Also, like, this has got to be the premier bookshop in the entire wizarding world, right? Yeah. Flourish and Blotts, probably, right?
Sure.
And they bought copies of it, never stocking it again. Like, where is stocking it? You know, like, where is it being sold at all if not already here?
Maybe Hagrid is taking a leaf out of Gilderoy Lockhart's book, and he wrote the book.
That would be so much better. It's a brand new book.
It's a brand new book written by Hagrid, and he's the only one who knows the trick.
That would be good. That would honestly make a lot more sense.
He's just adding. What is it?
With help from Newt's commander.
There you go. Yeah. So. Exactly.
Also, like, that makes me feel better that, like, the reason he doesn't just stick... Because I feel like Hagrid and Newt must know each other. And he's
Okay, you have to imagine.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Why does that never come up?
I know.
That's the duo I want to see. I want to see them have coffee.
Right? And he's like, here's a giant spider egg. I don't want it.
Maybe you do.
Maybe you do.
I know. Yeah. We'll never know.
I love the inclusion here where he says they ordered 200 copies of the Invisible Book of Invisibility and we never found them. Like, I would just absolutely love it if in a future book people kept tripping on something in the shop and, like, you just didn't acknowledge it and it's like, that's where they are. That's the books.
No, I love that because, yeah, that's, it's like when you read that sentence, it's like, wow, you got scammed is what happened.
I know. Yeah. No, I want them to exist somewhere and people just keep tripping.
Yes. That's a much better scenario.
That would be better. Then he's getting Unfogging the Future, and he says, very good guide to all your basic fortune-telling methods. Palmistry, crystal ball, bird entrails. Which I was just like, wait, what? Did we ever learn about that one?
Definitely. Is this a common thing, bird entrails? Are we studying them? Does anybody know? No? Nobody here, at least.
No one here, yeah. Okay.
It's a possum thing?
It's a Boston thing.
Yeah, the Bostonians, Boston. Probably.
Wow. The diss tracks are flying, man.
I know.
There we go. Okay, then, so Harry then notably spots the Death Omen book, What to Do When You Know the Worst is Coming, to which the manager's like, oh, I wouldn't read that if I were you. And I'm like, dude, you are the worst bookshop owner. Are you trying to sell books or not? You're buying two. You're getting scammed on books about invisibility. You don't know how to use the monster book. You're actively discouraging people from buying other books.
Right. It's like, why is it for sale?
Yeah, I know. Right?
Why stock it?
Why did you stock it? Anyway.
I do think it's interesting though. He does say you'll start seeing death omens everywhere. It's like, man, what is going on here? Like, what are the odds of this book being here?
I know, right?
Is that Dumbledore big plan potential? He's sort of like,
because he doesn't know about spookin'. He doesn't know about Sirius.
I know.
Yeah, okay. He's just messing with Harry. Maybe you'll see it. Yeah.
Normally I take this job seriously, but this one's for a laugh.
The shopkeeper does say though, like, you'll start seeing them everywhere. It's enough to frighten anyone to death, which is like actually how the Grimm works. People are afraid that it is going to be the death of them, and the fear is what kills them.
Well, there you go.
Yeah, so that's kind of funny right there.
And it makes sense, because I think the cover of the book does feature the Grimm.
It does. And so, it makes you wonder, how would the year go if we just didn't see this book?
Right.
You know? Like, if he's just like, what was that dog? You know? And now, because now it recontextualizes it for him, he's like, I'm going to die.
Right.
I'm doomed. Yeah. I'm not going to die.
What's the kid say? Oh, gosh, I'm going to blank now on it.
Bim.
Yeah.
It's like trying to catch smoke with your bare hands.
We need that kid.
Yeah, where's that kid, man? We should get him on the show.
Say again? Yeah, oh, you're right. A black spectral dog. An omen of death.
Okay. Who are you? He doesn't even go to this school.
Oh, man. That was good.
Harry starts trying. We're gonna get the giggles.
Got the giggles?
Maybe. Harry starts trying to reassure himself that it was just a stray dog. But like, I want to say, like, later on, does Ron not have like an uncle who saw a Grimm and died?
Oh.
Right. So like, Uncle Billius. Life of the party.
That is until.
Until the Grimm.
Too soon.
Yeah. I think we're good.
I think we're good.
He was lighthearted.
He was off page.
Yeah, he was off page. I don't even know.
There's no Dobby.
I know. What's crazy is...
Sorry.
Too soon.
that one's too soon.
That one's too soon. Oh, goodness.
But yeah, so as Harry is... He's trying to convince himself of this. He's back in his room at the Leaky Cauldron. He raised his hand to try to make his hair lie flat when the mirror responds, "You're fighting a losing battle there, dear." Which
great mirror.
Great mirror.
Yeah.
I hate that this is abandoned. Like, we have the Mirror of Erised in book one. In book two, there's the mirror at the Weasleys that's like, tuck in your shirt, Scruffy.
Yep.
And then in book three, we have this mirror.
We have this one. Then Sirius gives him a mirror in book five.
Oh, you're right. Okay, yeah. So mirrors do keep coming back.
They are. They're everywhere.
Any
man.
Good mirrors in book four, though? We'll have to keep an eye out.
I don't know.
Out.
Do you guys remember any? I don't know. No.
Asking a room full of Potter experts must mean it's not there.
Oh, no. You're right. The faux mirror in Moody's office.
Oh, yes. There is a mirror.
The faux glass. Yeah.
Nice.
Good
well
one.
Done.
Wow. A lot of magic mirrors.
Magic mirror. Yeah. I heard it.
Like Snow White.
Yeah. I got there eventually.
Okay, cool.
It may have taken me too long.
Yeah. Oh, did you just have more? You just have Blood Prince? Anymore? No. Okay, cool. Yeah. Seven is just the same one from five. So.
Yeah, true. Yeah.
Or the other one. I don't know. Whatever. Okay, anyway, moving on while y'all think about it. What'd I write down? Okay, later on, Harry meets Shane. He starts meeting his other classmates in Diagon Alley, including Seamus Finnegan and Dean Thomas, who are also ogling the Firebolt, which I like because this is the tiniest little setup for like way later on when Dean has to like get on the Quidditch team for like a hot minute, and then Seamus is all bent out of shape that he didn't get asked.
Right.
Yeah, because like you never they never seem to express interest in wanting to play, but clearly they are interested.
I know, yeah. That's like, and that's the other thing too, is that we don't hear about Quidditch tryouts until Harry's captain.
Right.
So
yeah.
It's
Oliver
like,
Wood's just like, nah, everyone's back.
No way. Yeah. We're keeping the old people.
That's right. Which is like Angelina Johns or who, someone, Katie Bell's like first advice to him, like, don't just keep the old people, Harry.
Yeah. It was not working for
Wood. Not working. Yeah. And then let's see, he runs into Neville, who is very formidable looking grandmother.
Yeah.
Which is really good. That's just a nice little Boggart setup for later on in the book when he's going to turn Snape into the grandmother.
Yes. Yes. You're absolutely right. And then Harry finally, it's the last day of holidays and he finally runs into, Ron and Hermione or he believes he's not going to see them until the Hogwarts Express.
I know. Like, does he think they're just not going to get their books?
I know. Yeah.
Or that he missed them somehow.
This is what I was trying to go back and see. Like we'll be back about a week before term starts and we'll be going up to London to get my wand and our new books. Any chance of meeting you there? Like whatever happens to Ron's plan.
Yeah.
He misses him by a whole week.
Misses him by a whole week. And wouldn't that be good? They're like, oh, we were there. Where were you? He was like, eating ice cream? What? I thought.
The whole day?
He keeps bringing them. Oh, boy.
It's hard to get away. Wait, hold on. They were there, both of them, sitting outside Florian Fortescue's ice cream parlor.
Oh, never mind.
It's the next sentence.
I know.
I was like, wait, this is too good.
Yeah.
That is where they are.
All right. The one time Harry's not there.
You know? I know, yeah.
There he goes. All right. So then they start questioning him. Did you really blow up your aunt? And he said, I just lost control. And then Hermione's like, I'm amazed he wasn't expelled. Which, like, if you lose control, it seems crazy to me that you could be expelled for that.
Yeah.
Like, it's not like he intentionally does it.
No, I know. Yeah. This definitely feels like, especially considering, like, underage wizards aren't allowed to do magic outside of school, it doesn't even seem, like, unlikely to me that they're manifesting their powers in this way. Like, this is just, I mean, stuff like this has got to be happening every summer.
All the time. There's just, like, just blown up aunts floating all over London all the time. You know? They're out there.
I mean, the way Fudge talks about it, it's like, we don't send people to Azkaban for blowing up their aunts.
Right. Happens all the time, Harry. Have a crumpet. Right?
Harry's like, no, thank you. I like sundaes.
Yeah, thank you. But do you have ice cream? Yeah. That Harry is like determined to be punished for it. It's like, your dad doesn't know why Fudge let me off. And Ron's like, probably because it's you, isn't it? And it's like, yeah, that's pretty much it.
Famous Harry Potter and all that.
Yep, you got it, man. Nailing what? Ron is on it in these first few books. He's just like always right about stuff.
He is, yeah. He's batting 1,000.
Yeah.
I do like what he says next, though. I hate to see what the ministry would do to me if I blew up my aunt. Mind you, they'd have to dig me up first because Mum would have killed me.
I know. Ronald Weasley! Oh my gosh.
Would that be Auntie Muriel?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. She might just give him a high five. I don't know.
Yeah, true. Yeah. True. Yeah.
Yeah.
Muriel may have it coming. Hold on, everybody just talked.
I know, everyone had a thought about that. Oh boy.
Who had the best one? What you got?
Go. Oh, nope, never mind. No, okay.
That's all right, that's all right.
It's all good. All right, moving on. Ron pulls out his new wand. Thank goodness, my goodness. I mean, 3 years in, he finally has a working one.
Yeah, and it's like, that really is, like, you know, we've gone on and on about it, but like, Ron's wand that he's been dealing with up until this moment is 100% holding him back.
Absolutely.
Like, it's active. I mean, year two, it's just physically broken.
Right.
Like he has missed an entire year of education.
Yeah.
How he got to year three is almost like,
I know.
Him, Crab, and Goyle should be back there, you know.
Well, they can't.
Doing mandrakes again.
They cancel the exams.
They did cancel the exams.
Yeah. Skated on by.
You're on.
Skated on by, Ron.
You're on it today.
Even though he like gets all those points from Dumbledore and wins the House Cup.
Yeah.
Wouldn't that be great? Dumbledore's like, and Ronald Weasley, 200 points for Gryffindor. Failed all of the exams, though. It's going to be year two again for you. All
right. Thank you for your service to the school.
Yeah, here's a nice award. Grades are grades, Ron, okay? You're not Harry. We can't make any rules, all right?
You're not Harry.
Yeah.
Exactly what Ron wants to hear.
Exactly. Actually, that plays so nicely into his Wandwood, which is Willow. The new wand is 14 ages Willow with unicorn tail hair. And if you look up what Willow Wandwood means on like Wizarding World, the part I bolded is that he says, I have noted that the ideal owner for a Willow wand often has some usually unwarranted insecurity. And it's like, oh, that's so Ron. That's so Ron. So
poor,
bad.
Poor guy.
I know that is. Not great. And then the unicorn hair also. It says wands with unicorn cores are generally the most difficult to turn to the dark arts. They are the most faithful of all wands.
There we go.
Is just like also very Ron, just like such a loyal friend at all times, even though he is constantly feeling insecure about living up to his brothers and living in Harry's shadow.
Yeah, that's a tricky one.
Unwarranted.
Well, another thing I found out that I thought was kind of interesting about the Willow Wand is that it's the same wandwood as Scorpius Malfoy and Lily Potter, meaning that in all three instances of Willow Wands, which are otherwise considered to be kind of rare, they are all really good partners to Potters.
Oh, that is kind of interesting.
Yeah.
Man, that's a good one.
Yeah,
that's,
isn't that kind of fascinating?
That is fascinating.
So
that does not feel accidental.
No, it doesn't. Yeah. That definitely feels intentional.
Right? So if ever there's anything else, look for Willow Wands.
Yes, yes, exactly.
Through the Gryffindor is sponsored by Shopify. Okay, story time. When we first started our journey making content online, I tried desperately to find a coffee company that wanted to become the official brew of our show. I sent out emails galore, and let me tell you what, they all said no. But then one day the idea arrived. What if we started our own coffee brand? We were so excited. It was going to be perfect. We could roast, craft coffee, and have our super high quality brew. But how to sell it? Ugh. I knew the other shoe was going to drop, except it didn't. Why? Because Shopify. Hey, that rhymed. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business, whether it's packing your very first box from your garage or a truckload from your warehouse. So whether you're selling craft coffee or sculptures made of nothing but spoons, yeah, you heard me, spoons, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. So sign up for a $1 per month trial period at Shopify.com/Griffin. That's all lowercase. Go to Shopify.com/Griffin now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/Griffin.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
Moving on from that, though, we finally catch a glimpse at sort of like the earliest setup that we're going to have for Hermione using the time turner.
Yes.
Throughout the rest of the story. And it says, "What's all that, Hermione?" Harry asks, pointing at not one but three bulging bags in the chair next to her. And she basically says, "Well, I am taking more subjects than you, aren't I? Those are my books for arithmetic, care of magical creatures, divination, study of ancient runes, and muggle studies." To which Ron's like, "What are you doing muggle studies for? You are muggle born."
I know, man. He says, "Your mom and dad are muggles. You already know all about muggles." It's like, effectively, Hermione was just a muggle for like
11 years.
You know, like she didn't know.
Although I don't hate this because I think, like, you know, it's like the idea of getting to, like, if I could go and take a class taught by aliens about the study of human beings, I would take it in a heartbeat. Like, you know.
Yeah, I know, but yeah, but like at the same rate, like, would you go to like a French school and like take the speak English classes?
Maybe not speak English, but like
that's
I would take the same thing though. I would take a course on like Americans.
Right. Well, sure.
How do they see us?
Yeah.
The perspective must be interesting.
Yeah. Oh, it is. Are you from France?
I got relatives out there.
Okay.
Yeah. So I don't know. Yeah, there's a piece of me that's like, I can see why.
Okay.
I might do it.
She does drop it after 1 year, though. So
that's true.
I guess she's like, well, nope, never mind.
Yeah.
Turns out.
But then Harry follows up with, "Are you planning to eat or sleep at all this year, Hermione?" To which I was just like, no.
Yeah, pretty much. Which is weird because she still has the time turner. Like, she can still just keep giving herself hours
to
sleep
or
eat.
A time turner for more naps?
Oh, right? Why not?
Oh,
you know?
Man.
Hermione's misusing that thing.
I would take all 12 classes to get the time turner and then just not go to like three of them.
Right.
Use that time to nap.
Exactly, right? Just I keep using it. Yeah, I'm just napping. It'd be great. You'd be really excelling in all those classes and be like, oh, yeah, I'm just dropping those other three, so don't worry about it.
Yeah. No big deal. Yeah, no problem. Yeah. But then we learn that she has 10 galleons left over from her birthday, and she says that she really wants an owl, which is kind of a nice setup here because it gets us back on the topic of scabbers, because it says Harry's got Hedwig and you've got Errol, and Ron's like, not really. Errol's a family owl. All I've got scabbers. And it says he pulled the pet rat out of his pocket. And I'm like... That's how you're carrying your rat?
How surprised would you be if I was just like... rat.
I would pass out. Right here, right now. So if anybody has a rat...
Yeah, anyone bring their rat tonight? No. Oh, man.
Yeah. It's eating the danger beans.
Shh, don't remind them.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Dang it.
I know. I think they had forgotten. Oh, no. Yeah. Ron, like, is just, he's sending you down all sorts of the wrong paths. I don't think Egypt agreed with him, so the whole book, you're like, I guess Scabbers just didn't like Egypt. He's been sick for a whole year. That makes sense. No, this is what it bothers me so much. You're reading this, and it's like, every time they bring up Scabbers, I'm like, who cares? You know, like, why is it important that Scabbers is sick? Like, great plot line, you know?
Yeah.
It's like, oh no, never mind.
Ron really does seem to care, though.
Like, Ron does.
He does seem to take, like, a certain amount of pride in old Scabs.
Yeah.
When you shorten it, it's worse.
Yeah, remember when I said Ron was always right earlier?
Yeah.
Turns out,
he has some misses, too.
Yeah, let's see. You always just assume it's Egypt, though. You never wonder why he's sick, if it could be anything else. But either way, they make it to the magical menagerie, where they've got all sorts of fun things. There's already a wizard there asking about double-ended newts, which probably means it has heads at both ends, but I like to think it has tails at both ends.
Dude, I literally thought the same thing.
It's just a worm.
It's just tails.
Yeah. Why? Well, we know that actually some of the ingredients are there. In fact, it's the very next thing listed. It says a gigantic tortoise with a jewel-encrusted shell, which doesn't sound like something you would call a fire crab, but that's what it is.
Yeah.
So that's that. That, which I did wonder, like, I wonder if this one in particular is like the fire crab Hagrid gets for the breeding, because it's like a gigantic tortoise.
You're right.
The scroots are big.
So, like, Hagrid comes in, like, right after they leave.
Yeah, right.
He's like, you got any,
give me
like,
that.
Bedazzled tortoises? Yeah,
I want that. That not tortoise, definitely crab.
Yes.
Yeah. And then there's also, it lists poisonous orange snails were oozing slowly up the side of their glass tank. These are actually an animal called streelers.
Streelers?
Streelers, and they change color every hour, so they're only orange right then.
Wow.
Yeah, fun fact.
I did not know that. I couldn't have pulled that. Yeah, Jay versus Ben, I would have missed that.
Yeah, streelers, I got it locked and loaded. Let's see.
Yeah.
I'll get to it. Yeah.
My crazy person book. Yeah. Beth, my wife, who's here.
Yeah. Yay! And Alice.
Oh man, she was riding up with me, and she's like, has never seen the book, so she opened it, and she was like, whoa. She's like, I'll read your copies, and I was like, okay. Okay.
Enjoy.
Yeah, enjoy.
Yeah.
All my crazy thoughts in here. Yep. Let's see. The next page is just full of Scabbers clues that go just right over every single person's head.
Right.
First of all, the guy asks, how old is this rat? And then Ron says, I don't know, quite old. And then later down in the page, it's going to say, an ordinary common or garden rat like this can't be expected to live longer than 3 years or so. And it's like, well, then he's not ordinary or common, is he?
Right.
And it's like, but, and in between there explains to you that he has no powers. So it's like, It's like there is so much information that like something is really weird about scabbers, and you're just like, hey man, if someone's pet lives longer than they did, that's just good for them.
Exactly. You know? Yeah. It's like Ron's doing a great job.
He's just doing a great job.
Yeah.
This is also the big hint right here, and it's so sneaky too. When you he has his tattered left ear and his front paw, which had a toe missing. And it's like, because he's a rat, you would call it a toe, but it's actually a finger. So later, when Pettigrew is mentioned missing a finger, you're not like, oh yeah, someone else was missing a finger earlier.
Yeah, right. Even then, you're like, hang on a second, I swear this came up once before. Oh no, that was a rat, we're all good.
Never mind. Yeah.
I made a mistake.
This is the same trick as not letting Tom and Marvolo and Riddle existing next to each other.
Yeah, it's you're just right. Like, you're yeah. right. Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah, it's true.
It must be. I don't know. Yeah, there's a lot of things.
Maybe
wrong
that
with
just
him.
Happened during rat life.
Yeah. Right. Just got into a big old rat fight. You know?
Yeah. Yeah. Is it not surprising at all though that Scabbers, like it says, he's never shown the faintest trace of interesting powers, but like. Let's not forget, he is in fact an actual wizard.
Yeah, I know,
like,
right?
And like a reasonably good one.
Right, I mean, he became an animal.
Right, like Harry accidentally blew up his aunt as like undertrained. Like you'd think at some point in time something would have happened.
I know, right? You and would like, think.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess not. I guess he's just really good at controlling it.
Maybe so.
You know, it makes you wonder, like, he must, because he's not doing magic either. Like,
yeah.
It's like, he feels like a real obscurus candidate.
Ooh.
You know, like...
Like repressing the magic. Like
but then you'd think you'd like start, you know, exploding or something.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Oh, man. I guess the thing, most obscuruses are like kids. So this would be like an adult rat getting getting an obscurus.
Right.
I don't see why he doesn't.
It's like Sharknado, but a rat.
Yeah, exactly. Ratnado. Yeah, that's somehow worse.
Yeah.
I'd rather it be sharks. Yeah. If a shark lands in front of me on land, it's like, who cares? What are you going to do, shark?
I'm fine.
Yeah.
This isn't dangerous.
100 rats in the sky, I'm like, oh, no. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Or what they call Tuesday in Australia, right?
Yeah.
No.
Oh, like by staying in rat form.
Like
he's
it's
constantly...
an active use of power?
Yeah.
That seems possible.
That does seem possible.
Okay, I accept. Okay. Right. I accept.
Yeah.
All right. All right, next up, though, we have the introduction of Crookshank. Something huge and orange came soaring from the top of the highest cage and landed right on his head. Almost gets Scabbered. Might have all ended right there. That could have been it.
That could have been it. I know, yeah. Can you imagine? Voldemort's like, the dang cat.
Yes, cat! No one would even know. No one would even know. Crookshank's this tremendous hero.
I know. Yeah. But the thing about this, though, that I do think is interesting, and I'll allow you to elaborate on it, but Crookshanks basically doesn't like Scabbers from the word go.
Yeah,
like,
right.
It's like I think sometimes I convince myself in my head that like it's befriending Sirius that like teaches Crookshanks to dislike Scabbers, but it's like from the actual moment they see each other, Crookshanks is like, no way.
Oh.
It's what? You.
Because it's Crookshanks is Regulus, you think? I've seen this there. I think my thought on it is that Crookshanks was owned by the Potters.
The Potters cat.
The Potters cat once upon a time. Because, first of all, so we don't, it's never revealed in the books, but Crookshanks is actually a half Neasel.
Yes.
Right? So half Neasel, half regular cat. Neasels like special powers that they can like detect suspicious activity or behavior or whatever. So obviously. Crookshanks is going to be good at recognizing that Peter is, in fact, a wizard and not a rat.
Yeah.
So there's that. However, there's plenty of other squirrely figures that Crookshanks does not notice, like Mad-Eye Moody next year.
Yeah.
Sort of a big one.
Come on, Crookshanks.
Basically the same trick, too. You know?
Right. Yeah, just a shape-shifted villain. Yeah,
exactly, shape-shifting villain. They're all over the place in this book.
Yeah.
So that would make you then wonder, like, why is Crookshanks so good at recognizing Scabbers but not Moody? And the answer is because he's seen Peter before.
Yes.
Because Peter, as the Potter Secret Keeper, would be the only person capable of visiting them.
Which we know he does
Which
during
he does.
Lily's letter to Sirius thanking him for... The tiny broomstick.
Yeah, and I would, to me, I would think that whether you're in human form or rat form, Crookshanks could tell it was the same being.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah,
right there. Plus, we know that Crookshanks from the owner has existed at the Magical Menagerie for like an extended period of time and that no one wants him.
Yep. It says the witch, that witch said he'd been in there for ages. No one wanted him.
Exactly. So, and then on top of all of that, there is only, there are five known half-neasels in all of Harry Potter.
Okay.
Four of them are owned by Mrs. Figg.
Who was a member...
Who was a member of the Order of the Phoenix and whose hobby is breeding half-neasels to sell to people. And she was in the Order of the Phoenix with the Potters who own a half-neasel. Right? So, like, math. Crookshanks belong to the Potters.
Yes. Yes. Oh, what? No. Why does Crookshanks not love on Harry more?
For all we know, he's actually jumping towards Harry here and not even Wormtail. Yeah. He's like, Harry!
My boy!
Oh, you're back, thank God!
This is fun. It's like having the comment section of the room with us.
But live, here we go. All right, so anyway, despite the attack on Ron's pet, Hermione's like, I want that creature.
Yeah.
I'm buying that right now.
Yes, like I love that Harry and Ron go sprinting out of the shop to try to damage control the situation, and Hermione is actively paying for.
He's like, we'll take it.
Yeah, I'm in.
I am in. I've never liked that rat. Good on you, Hermione.
Yeah,
goodness me. I love when she comes out to, she's like, he's gorgeous, isn't he? And Harry's like, that's a matter of opinion. Which he does not say out loud, but I love that he thinks it.
I know. I like that Ron says, Hermione, that thing nearly scalped me. I'm like, okay, Ron.
Dramatic.
That seems like a stretch. It nearly scalped Scabbers.
Yeah, if only.
If only.
But now that Scabbers is out of sight, cat purring contentedly. So just more that sentence right there. Also more hints that there's something squirrely about old Scabs.
Yeah.
Yeah, Scabbers. It's still worse to shorten.
Yeah. We just keep doing it.
Yeah, it's not better. Feels like it's going to sound funny, and then it's just gross.
Yeah.
Let's see. And then the Hermione's like, she's trying to like smooth over the situation. She's like, Crookshanks will be sleeping in my dormitory and Scabbers in yours. What's the problem? And I'm like, are there no other cats in Gryffindor Tower? Like, you're allowed to bring one of three pets, Toad, Cat, Owl. Ron's like, screw it, rat. But like, no one else brought a cat?
Apparently not.
Yeah.
At least.
Yeah.
Gryffindors are dog people
or rat people.
I could see that.
Or deer people.
Or deer people.
Or wolf people.
Wolf people. That works two ways. Yeah. Like Lupin's a wolf person.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Yeah, that's what I was going for.
That was the joke from the
first. Yeah.
I'm catching up.
What was your other way?
Like, fan of wolves.
Oh, yeah. That's what I meant by deer people, too.
Oh, yeah. I see. I thought you meant like pens of deer.
Yeah.
Yeah. Petting zoo.
Right.
Yeah.
I got you. They just like them.
They do.
What?
Millicent Bulstrode does, but she is a Slytherin.
But she's a Slytherin. Yeah. No one else in Gryffindor has a cat. Like, in all 7 years. You know?
Right. Not we never hear about any other cats.
You never hear. Yeah.
But it also, McGonagall.
Yeah, Umbridge. Plates. Yeah.
That's our complete list.
That's it, yeah.
Probably.
Yeah. Mrs. Norris. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, we hear about cats. Yeah. Scratch that from the record.
Yeah.
All right, anyway. I love, then we get back to Mr. and Mrs. Weasley, who were arguing, saying, Black's not going to be caught by a 13-year-old wizard, which, wrong. It's the Azkaban gods who will get him. Mark my words. It's just like, Mr. Weasley, call them Dementors. But this is also the way they don't call them by their proper name is like another hint that Sirius is actually the good guy and the Dementors are the bad guys. Like, because you don't call Voldemort by his name. You didn't call the Basilisk by its name. It's like, the Azkaban guards. We're going to call them Dementors.
Right.
Right.
Oh, yeah. Fear of a name.
Yeah. Fear of the name.
Fear of the thing. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So they're always the bad guys. Which, I mean, they seem pretty bad right away, but you're sort of like, oh, but for the greater good, kind of.
Right.
You know, we got to make weird allies.
Well, so then moving forward from there, we get the rest of the Weasley children, who are all kind of variously stepping forward. And probably one of the most potentially plot unnecessary scenes ever, but otherwise potentially one of the funniest.
Oh, I mean, I circled it entirely. Just this is one of my favorite exchanges in the entire series. It is when, first of all, Percy comes up and just is just so full of himself about being, head boy. Harry, how nice to see you. You know, like as if they've never met before. And then Fred and George, without missing a beat, are just like mocking him relentlessly. I just love it. Just like simply splendid to see you, old boy. Absolutely spiffing. Yes. And I love when Mrs. Weasley comes up. Mom! How really corking to see you. So good.
I love Fred and George.
No. Corking is not, it's an underused word.
It really is. Yeah, we should pick it back up.
Yep.
No, this is, I mean, we talked about it in a little bit of in the last chapter, but this is once again where, like, Percy being head boy is just like, it's just like, oh, apparently this is a bad thing.
I know,
like,
right.
Like, and deserves scrutiny.
Right. Like, Mrs. Weasley's so excited about it. You get the feeling that Fred and George probably thought it was cool when it was Bill.
Yeah, probably, you know, right? So,
they're,
yeah.
Like, yeah, Bill, way to go. You did it.
Bill was just cool.
Right, yeah. I'm sure Bill was way more fun as a head boy. You know? Yeah. He's like sneaking people out, right?
He had an earring.
Yeah. And a ponytail.
And yeah.
Yeah.
But then I love that Mrs. Weasley is like, I noticed they haven't made YouTube prefix. And their reaction seems so genuine.
I know.
What do we want to be prefix for? Said George, looking revolted at the very idea.
Revolted, I know.
It'd take all the fun out of life.
The fun, right? That'd be such a Dumbledore thing, too. Like, oh, we'll just make them enforce the rules, you know?
Oh, my gosh.
I know. But you could only put, like, one of them, you know? Like, just Fred or George.
This is what Umbridge missed. She should have just made them prefix. They would have been miserable.
I know.
She could have won.
She could have done it. Mm. Yeah. Nope.
But she doesn't understand them, so.
She doesn't get it, yeah. She's just like, I'll just take your brooms. Yeah. Even you weren't even involved in this, probably, for good measure.
Right.
Yeah. We're getting ahead of ourselves by, like, two books, but.
That's okay.
All right. I love Mrs. Weas is like, oh, you want to set a better example for your sister? And Percy just, like, I think he thinks he's making a real point here. He's like, Ginny's got all the brothers to set her an example, mother. It's like, God, what, so condescending, man. Like, wow. Okay, as you want to set a better example for your sister, as if, like, Ron and Harry aren't there, like, solving the Chamber of Secrets last year, too. You know?
Yeah, exactly.
Like, what about Ron?
Yeah, Ron's, like, special services to the school?
Hello! I know, right? And then I love when they're like, Mr. Weasley says they're providing a couple of cars, and Percy's like, why? I'm like, it's because of you, Percy.
little flags on the hood with HB on them.
Yeah.
For humongous big head.
Oh, man. They just never let up.
As they shouldn't.
I know. Well, as we haven't got a car anymore. And it's like, nope, nope. Turn into a thestral or something.
A wild beast.
Yep. And then later, God, you'd think Percy, with all of his pompousness, somehow manages to, well, I guess he doesn't lose the head boy pin, but because Fred and George steal it. But even his reasoning for why he's not wearing it is, I put it on the bedside table for polishing. Like, dude. Why? Come on. How long could that take? You want to see me polish my glasses?
Yeah. Sure.
Here we go.
Wow.
And we're back. Glad I didn't lose them.
Man. Yeah, that was good. Yeah.
Man.
The things people didn't know they were going to get at the live show.
I know. They're like, whoa, did you see Jay? He couldn't see us, and then he polished his glasses. Oh, man. And then he's just convinced Ron has done it. And it's just like, as for all of his composure, you could tell he's still just like, has that siblingness. Is like, you're not going anywhere till you find my badge. You know, I was like, oh boy, I've heard that sentence before.
From me?
No, not from you. I have twins also.
Oh, you know? Yeah. I was like, cause we're brothers.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No,
This is like the deer situation.
Right. Yeah. I'm like, people will get this joke.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No. The thing I actually do want to commend this though, because Ron has his rat tonic, which is a good setup. And like the rat tonic is like two words that come up in the Harry Potter books way more times than was strictly speaking necessary. Yeah. Like I think in this chapter it's said like 11 times.
Well, here's the rat tonic itself is yet another clue because Ron is giving it to Scabbers all year and it's not working.
Yeah, you know? It does nothing.
It does nothing. Can you imagine if you're Peter? You're just like, oh man.
That's
stuff. I'm not even a rat. It tastes so bad.
I know, but it's really good setup, though. Like, I think, I can't remember which chapter it is. It might literally be the chapter titled Chamber of Secrets, but I talked a lot in the episode about how there's coincidence that's used rather poorly, I believe, over and over again to, like, lead Harry and Ron to a situation where they end up running in, or they go up to, you know, find Hermione in the hospital wing where she happens to be holding the answer to the question and one thing leads to another, whatever,
yeah.
You know, when they decide to go into the Chamber of Secrets. This one I actually think is really well done because, like, the rat tonic is established in a way that sort of makes sense because, like, Scabbers is freaking out and he's freaking out for a different reason, but then he's got it. And then there's the whole situation with Percy's badge, which is the rat tonic is also lost. And then, you know, because they're arguing in the room, Harry's like, well, don't worry, I'll go get it for you. And in the process of going and getting it for him, he runs into Mr. and Mrs. Weasley.
Yes.
So it's like this huge series of events, all of which are guiding Harry to this one particular situation so that he has a good reason to overhear a candid conversation between Arthur and Molly.
Yes. Which the first line is, you know what Harry and Ron are like wandering off by themselves. They ended up in the Forbidden Forest, which this is like one of those when you're like, I was listening to it and reading it. And this is like one of those corrections where it used to say, if you have an older copy of the book, they've ended up in the Forbidden Forest twice.
Yes.
Which is not true. It's like, because in that first year, it's like Harry, Hermione, Neville, and Malfoy who go into the forest. So Ron's actually only been in there once at that point. But now they've corrected it.
Good save.
There you go. Whew, yeah. Man.
That was a close one.
I know.
People are about to be like, what?
Like, what?
I am confused.
I know. And then he says, I'm prepared to bet he would have been dead before the ministry found him if the night bus hadn't picked up Harry. Which, like, he's, like, obviously wrong about this. But, like, sort of right, because, like, Sirius Black did find him, like, immediately.
Yes, he did, yeah.
The ministry seems like they're overreacting at, like, oh, man, we got it. Like, if Harry's out there by himself, like, Sirius Black's probably going to find him. And, like, they're right.
They're right, yeah. The real question is, why hasn't he found him again in the 3 weeks that he's been hanging out in Diagon Alley?
That is a good question.
Yeah, because nobody knows he's a dog.
I know. Even, like, next year, he'll be like, I just pretend to be a lovable stray. And it's like, oh, that works? Okay.
You could have...
Seems like us.
Yeah, exactly. Gryffindors are dog people.
Yeah, the Dursleys would love that, for sure.
That means they like dogs, not that they turn into dogs. Except sometimes they also turn into dogs.
Yeah, right. That's true.
It's hard to be a stray inside of a high school.
He should just be a stray around Privet Drive.
Yes.
That's what he should do.
Yeah, I'm sure the Privet Drive-ians would love that.
Yeah.
With their
giant black dog.
Yeah, well-manicured lawns. Yeah.
Yeah, they're not going to...
On their lawns.
Yeah, on their lawns.
Yeah. Oh, you know he'd be like leaving some presents on the Dursley's lawn, you know?
Oh man, we have some top tier content tonight for you guys.
This is a good crowd. This is a good crowd. Oh my goodness. I love. Okay, so this is also great. Bit of like fudge setup too, where he says, "I don't care what fudge keeps telling the Daily Prophet. We're no nearer catching Black than inventing self-spelling wand." So it's like. What that means is, like, Fudge is just lying, like, already. He's clearly telling the Daily Prophet, like, we're making progress, and it's like, no, you're not.
Right.
So he's already starting to care more about image than results.
Yes.
Which obviously, like, just plays in nicely in Order of the Phoenix when he really goes out of control.
Right.
But then, let's see, Molly's like, but Harry will be perfectly safe at Hogwarts. I was just like, since when?
Let's check the tapes.
Let's check the tapes.
Year one, Voldemort attacked.
Voldemort attacked.
Year two, Voldemort attacked.
Right. Especially Rich coming from Mrs. Weasley, right? Like, last year, what, her daughter was almost murdered.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Wait, saved by who?
Right. Mm-hmm.
Harry. Mm-hmm.
Harry.
Yeah, anyway.
Kid can fend for himself.
Let's see. More cover-up by Fudge that they didn't report it in the press because Fudge wanted to keep it quiet, but Fudge went out to Azkaban the night Black escaped. But I don't know why I actually highlighted that. He's at Hogwarts, that's why. So they know, like, they the ministry, know that Sirius Black is looking for someone at Hogwarts. But just cover that up, because that wouldn't be important, right? Like, you'd think the parents would want to know that.
Yeah. You think that might come up.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, you know the person we're worried about? He's specifically hunting someone who's at Hogwarts.
Right, so, yes. He's a student.
Right. Yeah. They almost closed the school for the Chamber of Secrets, but not for this.
Not for this. Yeah, right? Nope. Known murderer, apparently. Yeah. Let's see.
We get like a little bit of like setup here, and I think it's kind of interesting because I actually highlighted a line where on the page prior where it says, "Molly, they say Sirius Black's mad, and maybe he is." And I highlighted that, and I was like, "I wonder if that's Arthur like having like a small amount of doubt. Like, I knew Sirius Black back in the day a little bit, and right. He didn't seem like such a bad guy. Like, maybe he's mad." But then the next page, it seems like this is just kind of like false information. But basically, it says like Black lost everything the night that Harry stopped you know who, like basically suggesting that he was like Voldemort's second in command. And it's like that would just be kind of like known information. Like, right, this is like, just like factually incorrect.
Right. It's like he's only thought of as Voldemort's like being a huge supporter because of how he acts the day after. But up until that point, no one would have known at all.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which I guess they suspect there's a mole, and then they think this proves it was him.
I guess that's true.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I guess there's that.
There's a reason.
Yeah. All right. Moving on. We find out where the head boy badge has gone. Fred and George have taken it and it changed the text that now reads Big Head Boy.
Nice. Some people in the front row had that one. Yes, I highlighted it for trivia reasons.
I know. Yeah. I just highlighted it for the lulls. I was like, don't let this one go by.
There you go.
I love this, though. It is just like when you know the answer, there's so many hints all over the place. Like, so after that, Harry overhears this conversation, learns that Sirius Black is hunting him specifically, and then he goes back to his room and it says, Harry lay listening to the muffled shouting next door and wondered why he didn't feel more scared. And it's like, as ever, Harry just has super good instincts on the situation. It's like, why aren't I scared? It's like, because there's nothing. Like, somewhere inside you, you know it's not a problem.
Yes. Yeah. No, I know. And I love this one, too, because there's also the situation like where this is like setting up really well, I think, where Harry would become a great Auror in the future, just simply because, like, when he first runs into Sirius Black before he calls the night bus, it's like he can, like, detect that somebody else is out there with him.
Yes.
You know, and then like this is him like sort of like reflecting on the situation a little bit more and being like, you know, I'm not that worried about this for some reason. Yeah, so I think you're absolutely right. Like, I think Harry is just like, he is super dialed in for some reason.
Yeah, yeah. Even the next line, like, he doesn't know anything about the Azkaban guards yet at all, but he's like still thinking about them right now. And he says, they seem to scare most people senseless, which is pretty much their exact power. Like, he's like picking up on what they do.
Yes. You know? Yeah.
Like, that's without
that,
knowing.
That is the actual function of a Dementor.
Right. Yeah. So that's what we get. We're going to meet them in the next chapter, which is called The Dementor.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Spoilers.
Spoilers. Oh, sorry. People are like, The Dementor? That sounds bad.
Don't you mean the Azkaban Guard?
The Azkaban Guards at last. Yeah. We're on the last page here. I think it's really more of the same. He's like just laying in bed, thinking about Sirius Black, and it says, unbidden, the image of the beast in the shadows of Magnolia Crescent crossed his mind, and it's like, ah, right there. Right there, Harry.
You are actually circling the drain.
I know.
Right now.
But like, I know, you're like, you were really there, but he's also thinking about the book cover, about what to do when you know the worst is coming. He says out loud to nobody, I'm not going to be murdered. And then, I am not going to be murdered. And then I love the mirror, who's just asleep. It's like, that's the spirit, dear. Oh, man.
Mirrors.
The mirrors. They're all over the place, man.
It's so great. It's so great. I know. That feels like it would be like a really good, like if you're Harry, I can't imagine not laughing.
I know.
Like, you know, just like, thank you, mirror.
Thank you, mirror.
Good night.
You're listening to everything I say.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Goodness, well, there me. We go. I believe we have made it
yes,
to the end of chapter
made it to the
4.
End of chapter 4.
Yeah. So, here's the moment where I would normally ask Jay to read us a review, but yeah. Since we had some listeners here in the audience, maybe you guys could let us know, did we get 5 stars? Did we do it? Yeah.
I think that was 5 stars.
I think that's a 5-star.
That's a 5-star review. Yeah. Very good. Yeah.
I got 30 feet. Thanks. Oh man.
Well,
One second. Here, yeah, why don't you close us out real quick for podcast reasons?
Oh, right, yes. Yeah. For recording reasons, I suppose we'll go ahead and close the show.
For the folks who aren't here.
For the people who aren't here who are just listening. All right. Thank you guys so much for listening to this episode of Through the Gryffindor. Make sure you join us next week for Chapter 5, The Dementor on Through the Gryffindor. Boom.
Today's episode was edited by Ethan Edgehill. Vaishon Brandon does our art. Catherine Stein is our production manager, and the show is hosted by me and Jonathan Carlin. Okay, guys, we have a very quick and special announcement for you.
Yes, we are finally launching a Patreon for Through the Gryffindor.
It is going to be patreon.com/throughthegryffindor, and we know that you guys have been enjoying the show, but maybe one thing you don't enjoy so much is the ads. So at our $5 tier, the dark detectors will be unlocked, and you'll be able to enjoy ad-free listening.
Yes, and then at $10, we're going to have the Owlry, where each week we will make a little bonus episode for you guys here on the Patreon, where we're answering your questions.
Yes, and as another special offer for the launch of the Patreon, we are also going to be doing something very cool. If you sign up for an annual membership for either tier, we are going to send you a page from Jay and I's copies of the books, completely marked up with highlighter, notes, handwritten scribbles, all sorts of really cool things.
Yes, so that is live now. There is a link in the description. Patreon.com/throughthegryffindor. Thank you so much in advance for your support.